Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh,
oh, yay. It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of This Is 20-something. Just gonna give a spoiler alert right now. Val's not in this episode. She's out living her best life at the beach. Val, I hope you're having a great time. You will be back from the beach by the time this episode comes out, and I am very excited to have you back. Can't wait to talk to you. Love you so much. Okay, today is just me. And it is actually a listener episode today. And so those kind of work a little bit differently. If you're new around here, hello, we're happy to have you. And we do these things called listener suggestions. Basically, it's exactly like it sounds. Our listeners are able to put in suggestions for what they want us to talk about, and we do a listener suggestion topic once a month. It's always the first episode of every new month. So this is the July listener episode. And the question this week is favorite small businesses you support or wish existed. And this was an anonymous submission. We didn't have a name entered with this one, so if this was you, thank you for the thank you for the question. And yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit today about what a small business is. We're gonna be talking about some small businesses that you all said that you like. We actually asked that question on our Instagram this week, and you guys gave us some really great answers, so I am ready to dive into all of that with you. And yeah, I haven't done a solo episode in a while, so you'll have to forgive me. I am not used to not having somebody to talk to. So we're just gonna kick it right up with the small businesses that you all said that you like. Emmy Scott said Rainy Day Books in Kansas City. Rose said At Sewing Creations. Cowboy Killa said Shop Hippie Kids. Tati Leon said The Lemon Tree. Rose Wilson also said Granola Collection, Blush and Josie, and Pagan Plant Mama, which is actually my small shop, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then Robin Burns, who is Val's mom, hi Robin, said Cottontail Quilts in Kennesaw, Georgia. And Texas South Wind is another one that she tagged. So yeah, those are the small business suggestions that you all gave. And I'm going to talk also about a few of mine. Some of mine are in there, so we'll talk about a few of mine later on, because that was obviously the listener's first question, is favorite small businesses that we support slash ones that we wish existed. So Val said that she's excited to listen to this episode too, because while she does support small businesses and loves doing that, she said that, like probably a lot of our listeners, she could stand to benefit from some information about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to give you some quick facts and statistics and things like that. So yeah, we're going to hop right into that. So to start out, I kind of wanted to give you some groundwork, because if you're like me, you don't really remember a time when larger stores didn't exist, like larger national franchises or what have you. So yeah, I wanted to kind of give everybody a frame of reference for, you know, there was a time when every store was a mom and pop, like locally owned business. And I don't really have time to break it down per industry because obviously this is just a very casual podcast episode. I'm not trying to write a dissertation on this. So I am just going to go with like general retail stores like Walmart, Target, and things like that, because I think that that is where we start to see majorly a trend in just, you know, lots of varieties of stores having to close their doors because they're getting beat out by these larger chains. Not saying that that didn't happen in other industries, it definitely did, but I think that those larger general stores cover more of a wide variety of things like grocery stores, pet stores. They now do like cash checking and things like that, money orders, which, you know, small local shops in the past have done. So just a very wide variety of things, entertainment, clothing, you know, you've been to a Walmart or a Target before, so you know what I'm talking about. So the year is 1962, and we have three large stores enter the, you know, marketplace. Three new large options that people can be familiar with to shop the same item selection at different locations of this store. So those three stores are Walmart, Target, and Kmart. Kmart was previously another store. They also did general store type things, but they weren't really like a public big retail chain, or they weren't publicly traded yet, but they weren't like a large retail chain until they became Kmart in the 60s. So that year, all three of those stores hit the market, and mom and pop shops didn't really see too much of a hit immediately because people weren't really used to getting everything at one store yet. They were still just buying little by little, and so sometimes it was easier to just go to a smaller mom and pop store. But by the 70s, we start to see a decline in shoppers going to the smaller local mom and pop shops. Specifically, 1970 is really just a year that is hard for mom and pop stores. So we're going into the 70s and a lot of them are suffering. 1970 is when Walmart became a publicly traded company. 1967 is when Target became publicly traded, and Kmart already had been publicly traded since, like I said, they had stores before, they just weren't to the caliber of a Walmart or a Target yet. So they became the Kmart that we all know in 1962. So that is kind of the trend that we see throughout the rest of the late 1900s. Mom and pop shops are just kind of struggling to keep up with these other larger retail chains, and people are starting to, you know, recover generationally from the Depression a little bit at this point. And so people aren't as immediately affected by the economy at this time as they were 20, 30 years prior. Not to say that they weren't still affected, but the urgency to penny pinch wasn't as strong as it had been in the past. And so people could go to a Walmart or a Target or a Kmart and spend a larger amount of money on a more general amount of items, instead of just having to get two or three things every time they go to the store, which would make mom and pop shopping a little bit more convenient since those stores tend to be smaller. So we see that trend where they just can't keep up with these larger stores. And by the 2000s, really Walmart, Target, Kmart, all of those shops are dominating. And you really start to see around 2010, right after the 2008 recession, we start to see that there are little to no small businesses around. So the remaining small businesses are kind of like, oh crap, a lot of our friends have been going out of business in the last 10 years. We need to try to make the 2010s this like next decade of shop local. So that's when a lot of the shop local campaigns started. I remember my town having like the Chamber of Commerce doing a shop local event, which I believe they still do. I'm not sure, in the town that I grew up in, but yeah, so that's when we really started to see the rise of the like 2010s small shops starting to open up and really seeing success within their more niche markets, because there was this huge pull from people that if you had the extra money to spend it at a small shop and try to do as much shopping at local stores as you can. And so fast forward to 2020. And small shops had been really thriving for the last 5 years. It was really a good time to enter the marketplace. You had things like Etsy really ramping up. Instagram shops obviously now are a very big thing. You now have drop shipping as an option. So really the last 5 years were great for small businesses. And then the pandemic hit. And small businesses didn't have the safety net for their stores and their employees that other larger retail chains that were publicly traded corporate stores like Walmart or Target. Obviously, Kmart isn't around anymore. It had its own failings. But Walmart and Target are really the two leaders in those large retail stores right now. And so as a result of the pandemic, we saw that we lost a lot of small shops recently. And so now we are, you know, trying to recover from the pandemic worldwide. And one of those things is people trying to push for local businesses as hard as they can now, which I think is great. We're sort of seeing a lot of the same things that we saw in like 2011 come back of shop local after that whole initiative started. So it's kind of funny that we're just kind of reusing those same hashtags and same trends. Like Small Business Saturday, I know, is a really big thing still. And I remember that being a thing again in my town with just normal like shops, not online storefronts. So yeah, we really started to see almost the same trend of communities of people and remaining small shops trying to advocate to get people not only in their doors, but to help other people reopen or open new stores. So again, it's just funny to see that trend completely coming back and the reusing of so many of those, I guess, catchy like hashtags and terms, which I think is great. Like it worked in 2010, 2011. Why wouldn't it work in 2020, 2021? So yeah, that is sort of the breakdown of when we started to see a decline in small shops, what the trends have been in recent years. Obviously, like I said, this is not an in-depth breakdown. I mean, this like history and factoid part is only like 7 or 8 minutes of the episode. So you can't expect to get a full breakdown in 7 or 8 minutes. But if this interests you, then go research it for yourself. There's a lot of information on this. So yeah, I'm going to move right along and let you all know what some of my favorite small businesses are, since that is one of the questions. And I'm also going to be, letting you know, what small businesses I wish existed, which was the other half of the listener suggestion. And I think that that's such an interesting concept. And I kind of had to sit on it for a minute, because there have been so many times where I've been doing something and been like, oh, I wish that something existed for this, but I couldn't remember any of them off the top of my head right away. So I had to kind of sit down and think about it. But we're here now, and I'm excited to talk about that in a minute. First, I want to shout out a few of my favorite small businesses. I'm actually going to pull up a little list that I have. So my first favorite small business is the one that my cousin actually owns and my husband works at. Billy's Grocery is an amazing restaurant. I don't even know how to begin to describe it. So if you want to check it out for yourself, you can on Instagram at BILLIESGROCERY. So Billy's Grocery. I actually have an Instagram-based business. We have a Patreon as well, where I go a little bit more in-depth with things, and you get some different perks with being a Patreon member. But what I do on Instagram is I do small batch, vintage, and thrift store resale. And I have little, what I mean by small batch is there's a theme, and I always keep my amount of items very small because I feel like it's important as a reseller to really not be hoarding things from thrift stores in my house waiting for people to buy them from me, because there are a lot of people who don't have the option to shop at anything but a thrift store. And so I am just personally of the belief for my shop that I don't personally want to carry a lot of inventory, just because I, like I said, want to be sure that I'm leaving a lot of those nice more quality pieces for people that need to shop there, and not just me who's bargain hunting at the thrift store. So that's what I do over there. I also once a month do drops of my plant propagations, which if you don't know what a propagation is, it's basically taking a healthy part of one of your plants and making it into its own new plant. So if you have a really thriving pothos plant, you can snip off, you know, a couple of the leaves, stick it in some water, let it root for a couple of weeks, and then plant it in soil, and you have yourself now a second pothos plant. So generally what I do is I take in sick plants from other people who are just like, this is too much for me to care for, I don't know how to take care of it, and it's dying. People who, you know, are probably going to get rid of those plants anyway. So I save those plants from going to the landfill, and I take them in, nurture them back to health if I can, which in most cases I've been successful with. And then I take propagations from them so that I can make more plants for myself. And then also, like I said, sell those to my Instagram following. So I've had really great success with shipping them so far, and I haven't really heard of many issues coming from my plants that are sent to other people. You know, a lot of people have just given me really good feedback that the shipping went well and their plant is still alive, and some of them have already planted them in soil and they're still doing well. So I'm very excited about that, because the shop's only a couple months open. So the fact that I already have a couple of customers that are satisfied with the plant clippings, since that takes a lot of time and nurturing from me, I am really happy to hear that. So if you're interested in checking that out, you can. My handle on Instagram is at Pagan Plant Mama. That's at PAGANPLANTMAMA. And I also share on my stories a lot about other shops that I like that are also vintage resale shops. So if you want to follow somebody who will give you like suggestions on other stores if you ask for them, or if you're just watching stories, then give me a follow. I do that from time to time. And the next store that I want to talk about is Awkward Auntie. Her tag on Instagram is just at AWK WARDAUNTIE. Her name is Sarah, and she actually makes the most beautiful propagation vases and other planters and things like that out of cement. And it is just, they're gorgeous. They're handmade by her, and they're so pretty. So, yeah, you should definitely go check her out. Like I said, her handle is just awkward auntie, like it sounds. But yeah, she's really great. And then the next store that I want to talk about is, well, two that were actually mentioned up front in the tag section of our comments. But I just kind of want to give them a little plug because they're my friends. So Aaron from Sewing Creations and Sam from Blush and Josie. Sam is one of my friends from college. We actually weren't super close in college. We were friends, but we kind of lost touch, and then over the years on social media have kind of kept up with each other. And when she started her business, Blush and Josie, I was just so proud of her and so obsessed with what she was making. So she sells handmade clay earrings, and I love them because they're so lightweight. I've never had a pair break. I've traveled with them. I have a baby who pulls them out of my ear constantly. They've never ripped my ear, which I know has been a problem for other mothers in the past. They are really durable in my experience and really easy to wear. They go with everything. So if you want to check her out, she has a website, which you can find on her Instagram. If you just go in her bio and click the link, it'll be there. But her handle on Instagram is at BLUSHANDJOSIE. So go check her out. And then my friend Erin from Sewing Creations, she makes the most adorable headbands and scrunchies and things like that. So go check all of those stores out. And then as far as the ones that I wish existed, such a good question. but one thing that I really wish existed is more options for like plastic recycling and things like that. Like I wish there were more businesses that were reusing plastic that I could turn my plastic into them instead of just putting it in the recycling or throwing it away, because I know both of those options are really overloaded. So I wish that existed. I also wish that there were more plant nurseries. There's actually a really great Kansas City-based nursery that I love called Family Tree Nursery, and I believe that that's their handle on Instagram as well. But I wish that more of those types of stores existed, because you often just see so many of these plants coming from Home Depot and Walmart and these places that like don't know how to take care of them, where all the plants are on the same watering schedule, even if they have different care needs. And then you bring your plant home and you wonder why you can't keep it alive. And then you have to give it to somebody like me, or you have to throw it away. And in most cases, people like me don't exist. I kind of opened my shop because I didn't really see anybody doing that. I mean, the vintage resale side of it, yes, that's being done, but I didn't really see anybody just kind of advertising that they take in sick plants. So, yeah, just things like that. I wish that there were products that, you know, I like that were more readily available in stores, things like period panties, stuff like that. But yeah, it's such a good question what small businesses I wish existed, because I feel like there are so many. I also wish that there was a place that I could go and give them my, or maybe not even a place, just a person I could call, and I could give them what I currently have in my fridge and my pantry, like a list, and then they could make a meal plan for me and give me like a list of the rest of the ingredients that I'll need. I wish that that person existed. Just general house things like that that take so much mental energy that I do not want to do. I wish, and I guess, you know, assistance or whatever, but I wish that was somebody's specialty. You know, I feel like that would be so, so helpful. From a podcast perspective, I wish that there were better recording apps, because Audacity can just be a bitch sometimes. And there are other things that you can use, but a lot of them aren't free. And when you're a podcast like ours that isn't raking in the dough, you don't really have the option to use those paid programs. So it ends up being a lot more work on the editing and uploading side for us. So yeah, that is pretty much my list of shops that I wish existed. If you have any, you should go let us know in the post about this week's episode. Just comment and say, I wish the small shop that did this existed, or whatever. So yeah, or if you have a small shop that went out of business that you really miss, let us know what that is. Just let us know in the comments. So you can do that at thisis20pod at thisistwentypod on Instagram. If you would like to check my Instagram out, you can do that at Allison R. Carpenter at AllisonCarpenter. I'm doing a lot of pop culture social justice crossovers, like Britney stuff, and I'm going to be talking about Amanda Bynes soon. So yeah, check me out on Instagram if you are interested in any of that stuff. And if you want to see Val's pictures from the beach, you should follow her. Her handle is at val.byrnes. That's at val.byrnes. And we hope everybody has a great week. We hope you have a safe 4th of July, or by the time you're listening to this, have had a safe 4th of July. And we will talk to everybody next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to This Is 20-Something. We have new episodes every week, and they are available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast, head to anchor.fm/thisis20pod and press the support icon. You can follow us on Instagram at thisis20pod. And if you really love us, you'll find the nearest iPhone user and have them give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. That is where 80 to 90% of listeners in the market find new podcasts. So leaving us as many reviews and ratings as you can really does help us spread the word. See you next week.